I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
I'm John Dotson with Professor Evan Ellis. New World Report, New York Times. The indictment of Manuel Rocha, the former U.S. ambassador accused of working for Cuba's services for decades, has left longtime colleagues struggling to make sense of what was real and what was deception in a life that straddled poverty and privilege. Mr. Rocha, 73 years old, born in Colombia, he's now a citizen of the U.S., the DR, and Colombia. I don't know, it can get confusing. Came to this country with his mother, said to be a widow in Connecticut. He attended the elite Taft School. He went on to be educated at Yale, at Harvard, at Georgetown, and rose through the ranks until he was ambassador to Bolivia earlier in this century. And now, Professor, these allegations remain unproved. Mr. Rocha is an innocent American, a worthy servant of the State Department, and yet you know of these matters in a very straightforward fashion. What can you tell us about Mr. Rocha if he is working for Cuba? Not why, but how. How did this work over decades? Thank you.
Thank you, John. Well, this is a personal matter for me. In the 20-odd years that I've been doing Latin American work, I knew Manuel Rocha. We interacted on many different occasions. He had a distribution list of work on Latin America. Those of us who have been Latin Americanists, one couldn't help but to know him. I mean, he spent a long, what seemed to be a distinguished career in the State Department. I mean, he advised the president. He was on the NSC, the National Security Council. He was later an advisor to U.S. Southern Command, in addition to his highest diplomatic position, which was as ambassador to Bolivia. But I mean, he'd been in the diplomatic service since 1981. It's interesting because for those of us who have long been alerted to Cuban espionage, because there's discussion of, and some people say, you see a Cuban spy behind every corner. But when one looks at Venezuela policy, when one looks at policy in the Caribbean and elsewhere, there's long been this understanding that the Cuban DGI and others have substantial penetration, and even penetration that's often accused within the U.S. government. The classic case was always Ana Montes, who worked for the Defense Intelligence Agency, who had given up classified information. But in many ways, 40 years of spying by Manuel Rocha at the highest levels, maybe even using his information not only to pass information, but to subvert U.S. policy. I think it exposes the level of vulnerability that we've had with respect to the Cubans in this arena. Now, again, the irony for me is that anyone who knew Manuel Rocha certainly knew that he had a persona of being very conservative. He had given to Cuban refugee causes. And certainly on China, Latin America, one of my core issues, he'd long been very outspoken. Of course, somebody who is leading a double life, they say one of the things that they tend to do is try to maintain a public persona, which is exactly the opposite of where they're at. Now, the how and why, I mean, it appears that he was very subtle. One would not see anything in his public stance that would lead one to worry about Cuban sympathies. Now we're in the domain of speculation about his childhood. Was there something in the way that he came up in a very difficult time in Colombia that even though he had these wonderful opportunities because of his brilliance in some of the best schools and then in the State Department, that despite all of those opportunities in our system, was there something about his past that made him vulnerable to seeing the U.S. in a very different way? I suspect that those things will begin to come out. But I think for many of us who knew him as a really just a luminary in, Latin American thinking for many years, it's a shock, but it reminds us how vulnerable we are to, Cuban intelligence and other malevolent actors mucking around in our hemisphere.
We're looking at something not unlike Alger Hiss. That was confounding when that allegation was made in the 50s. However, Professor, walking the cat backwards, that's a phrase that I've learned from spy novels, walking the cat backwards. Let's start with the posting as ambassador to Bolivia. To your understanding, having dealt with Rocha and understanding that Bolivia is now a troubled nation, would it have suited Cuba to undermine democracy in Bolivia or to maintain conversation with Bolivia over the years? Can we assume, if these allegations are proved in court, that Bolivia has been penetrated by Cuban intelligence and that, say, Mr. Morales is a product of this penetration?
Well, you know, there's long been speculation, independent of Manuel Rocha, that Evo Morales, as well as Hugo Chavez, Nicolas Maduro, Rafael Correa in Ecuador, have, you know, actively, openly been, you know, working with Cuba, you know, coming up, the Sao Paulo Forum, Brazil, Lula, you know, take your pick. But with respect to U.S. policy in Bolivia, this is one of the disturbing things, because this would have come relatively late in Maduro Rocha's career. This was kind of the crowning point. And there was a moment when he was ambassador that he made a strong, somewhat controversial conservative statement that, you know, people who would vote for somebody like Evo Morales, you know, this could put U.S. funding in jeopardy. And so that's statement was seen as, you know, by some, you know, essentially U.S. interference, conservative U.S. interference, trying to be too heavy-handed. And so many people, you know, at the time, you know, saw that as having empowered Evo Morales, because, you know, look, see, indeed, that the gringos are trying to bully us and tell us what to do in our elections. And indeed, one of the more moderate candidates lost. And indeed, that, although it didn't empower Bolivia to win in that moment, it actually helped Gonzalo Sanchez de Lozada win that president. But it really paved the way for Evo Morales to come to power. So was there collusion with Morales? Maybe not. But was Manuel Rocha, who, if he was then working as a, you know, in the pay of the Cubans, did he basically do something that looked conservative, but in reality was, you know, heavy-handed to essentially subvert U.S. interests and help bring the left by making the U.S. look bad? I think that's what people are wondering about that particular chapter. But there are so many chapters over 40 years where Rocha could have not only passed information, but, you know, literally subverted through his advice and other things U.S. policy. You know, not everything that was a bad U.S. policy can be blamed on espionage, but not everything that was a bad U.S. policy may be independent of some of these malevolent types of nudging and activities.
And the State Department, Professor, there's never just one mouse. Is the State Department now suspect in the Americas? 30 seconds.
Well, there was certainly a case, Kendall Myers, who was with the intelligence organization, the State Department, INR, back in 2009, who was convicted of spying for the Cubans, and there certainly have been others. I think the idea of State Department penetration, other penetration, it's difficult to say how broad. But again, with the Cubans, as with the Chinese MSS, as with the Russians, U.S. adversaries cast their net wide. And, you know, the sad reality is they get some. And that's one of the things that our, you know, friends in the FBI and others work very hard in, what's a battle to try to at least capture some of those before they do too much damage to U.S. national security.
Professor Evan Ellis, New World Report. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,